Ve'im tomar, we know when Deirecha nam v'isurim. Tosa spent most of the longer Yom Haskel Eirecha attacking Rashi. They spent the beginning, actually, attacking Rashi, explaining why they don't see Shechita, Truma, so forth, as the proper marker for classical Eirechad. And as we explained, that's because Tosa sees two different types of Eirechad, regular Eirechad and Eirechad Biyado. And so he says, those are Eirechad Biyado, I need a marker for classical Eirechad. Rashi perhaps doesn't accept that differentiation, doesn't accept that bifurcation. And then we saw yesterday, in the middle of Tosas, he goes on a sidebar about Shechita, and specifically, Tosas says, Rashi and I agree that Shechita, your neman on Shechita, despite the Chazaka, because it's Biyado, well, why is it Biyado? So that was a rich conversation that took us in a couple of directions. And then one of those, the last one of the directions which we left hanging, relates as well to the end of Tosus. So Tosus finally says, and again in the Tosus Rush, as we saw, the flow of Tosus is even clearer. He says, given that I eliminated Shechita and Truma as sources for Eirechad and Bisurin, and some Achronim would say, Gid, Anag, Nikar, Hagid, Nikar, Chel, is also the same issue of Itzchazi Bisura. Tosa Rosh himself says it's not an issue of Itzchazi Bisura, which is that there is no pasuk that says that your name on Gid and Chelev. And again, Tosa Rosh and Yeramas seems to think maybe there is, but Tosa doesn't see that. So by hook or by crook, Tosa says none of Rashi's Makoros have survived. So where am I going to find the source for Eidach and Bisura? Tosa says, the answer is the Gemara Ksuvos. It's a befamish of Gemara Ksuvos. It doesn't have to be Rashi saying, well, the pasuk says Shechita, so Mestama, it means it's Shechti by himself, or Mestama, Drachera Darkei Noah, I'm happy to be that the Torah expects each and every person to prepare his own food. No, it's the Gemara says befamish. Yim Tomar, I mean, no, they definitely have be soon. No, they definitely have be soon. It's the Tata, where does it come from? Now they've eliminated Rashi's approach. Yesh Omar, now Yafim in Nida. We learn it from Nida. The Darshino Perek HaMadir, in the middle of Masechet Ksuvos, here we have Ayin Beis Amun Al, the Safra La Le'atzma. She has to count. And she's La, we Darshan from the word La, it's for herself. Meaning, the script says V'Safra Shiva Zalim, it says V'Safra La Shiva Zalim. Again, we're talking to get, it's getting important to have a little bit of background, for a variety of reasons, but specifically to appreciate the Tosus. There are two types of situations that we loosely, Bizman Azeh, refer to both as Nida. One is, strictly speaking, called Nida, one is called Zava. Bizman Azeh, we basically entirely intermingle and overlap it. So Zava, if you want to be technical, Zador for Zava to become Tahora, so the two things need to happen. So she needs to stop bleeding and have a series of seven consecutive days in Shiva Nakiyim, during which she checks and sees that she's no longer bleeding, menstrual bleeding has ended. And after seven consecutive days of checking, seven consecutive clean days, Shiva Nakiyim, then she's eligible to go to mikvah. She goes to mikvah after Shiva Nakiyim, then she's tahor. So the pasuk describes the sphere of Zava, it says, V'safra Allah. Why does Tosfos to say she counts for herself? For whom else would she be counting for? You say V'safra Shiva Siyam. The Gemara Ksuvos Darshan says, it means that she's nemenes. She does it love not for herself, but by herself. That's a derech drash. That it means by herself. That no one else is keeping track. No one else is looking at the. No one else is looking at the data. She's checking on her own privately. And she's keeping track of the fact that seven consecutive days. And she's nemenes. So we believe her. So that's what Gemara Ksuvos says. So that for the word law, we learn that the woman is nemenes to say that she's Torah. That she underwent Shiva Nakiyim, she's Torah. So Tosa says that the line of Ksuvos, but there you have it, a drasha from a pasuk, that she is nemenes, one person. Eid Echad Neman Bisur. That's what Tosa says. Now, a few things. One thing is sort of the hanging thread from yesterday. The Tosas had already, in their treatment of Shrita, made it very clear that they take it as a given without any hesitation. Totally nonchalantly. They don't make a big deal of it at all. It's just like a davar pasha to them that an FNM Bisur applies equally to men and women. The Tosas have been talking about Shrita. They say, well, how do we believe? You tell me Shrita is before the Yada. Well, how do you believe a woman to say that the knee is Bishaftin if women don't check? So it seems to have never occurred to Tosfos that the Eid Echanem Bisur applies only to men and not to women, even though, like, despite the fact, we talk about Shnei Eidim, almost invariably, a din that requires Shnei Eidim requires Shnei Anashim. So it's intriguing, it's striking. And then, not only is it Tosfos is given in discussing Shrita, but their very mucker for Eid Echanem Bisur is Nida. It is Nida. So they are clearly assuming that not only is a woman included in Eidecha Nema Bisurin, she actually is the original source of Eidecha Nema Bisurin. So what's conceptually surprising about this is it means that the definition of aid for Eidecha Nema Bisurin, the definition of aid for Shnei Eidim by Mamon, Misa, Malkus, Darsha Be'erva is fundamentally different. It's not that here you have one aid and there you have two aidim, but the same definition of aid. No. Eidachanan Bisurim is not really an aidus in the classical sense. This is something that Koranim deal with in a variety of contexts. To what extent is Eidachanan Bisurim aidus just one person instead of two? And to what extent is it a different type of a thing? So this Tosus, who assumes that Eidachanan Bisurim, men and women are equally eligible, so that seems to be a strong statement. It's a different type of a thing. Some Achronim say it's an immanus rather than an edus. You can use different types of terminology, but at the very least, it's a different type of it. And it's not what you. And if you ask yourself, well, what would I have assumed? This is where we left off yesterday. Okay? What would I have assumed in a vacuum? I didn't know anything else. If I knew that there's din of shnei edim in many areas of halacha, and others of halacha din of edacha, what would you have assumed? Are they the same? Except one is one, one is two. Are they different? Right, so it's all the same. Eight. Here's one eight, here's two eight. So the fact that what Tosfos is saying is striking. Where'd they get it from? Well, number one, they got it from the Gemara Ksuvos. If they read the Gemara Ksuvos as being the source of Eid Echanan Bisurin. Okay, so the Chumash is Mechadesh, that here is different. Because the Chumash is Mechadesh was Safra Allah, that not only one individual, but specifically one woman, is Nemenes on Sviras Shiv and Akim. The other source that Tosfos had that we noticed yesterday is Masha Anu Somchim Al Hanashim. The fact that, practically speaking, we rely on both men and women every single day. Kasha. And that goes back to what we discussed yesterday about the Kehillah Kedoshah, the Maisim B'chol Yom. The Tosfos is treating the practice of their Kehillah as assumed to be a holy and proper practice. And that's a function practically as like a separate Makar that needs to be understood. So Masha'anu Somcha Hanashim, so both Eid Echanan Bisurin includes both men and women because of the Gemara Ksuvos and because of Maisim B'chol Yom. So how could anyone, Hashem, there's a whole story about the convention of Rabbanim and back and forth, the entire, it goes back to the Sefer Becher David, somewhat obscure Chronish Sefer, that's Beis Chaf Resh, Becher David, in which I believe he has one of the shtiklach, one of the simanim, I believe he demonstrates that there are a number of rishonim who disagree with this Tosfos and others, and assume that Eid Echanan Bisurin only applies to men. The obvious question is, well, v'safala, number one. Number two, so you'll say, well, Rashi, Tosfos thinks v'safala is an example of Eid Echanan Bisurin. Rashi doesn't. Maybe that's one reason why Rashi didn't like v'safala. Because he thinks this must be something exceptional, because after all, normally women are not good. Maybe not. Number two.
Because the fact that you can rely on someone to eat food by shtita is generally the woman.
Let me reformulate what Zev is saying. We just said before, just thinking methodically, that there are two sources that Tosfos, if you read between lines of Tosfos, he has two sources. He's clearly assuming that Echanan Bisurin includes both men and women, and he seems to have two sources for it. One is the Drashim Ksuvos, And the other is the Maisim B'chol Yom. Mashar Nusam B'chol Nashim. So the drawstring ksubas, okay, Rashi anyhow doesn't think that's the Makar. So, okay. Maybe as part, maybe or maybe not, but maybe it's part of the Makar. There are Rishonim who don't think this is the Makar, so we can get out of that. I have the Maisim B'chol Yom. The Maisim B'chol Yom. I told you yesterday when we ended cheer, I said, feel free to go home and eat lunch and supper, even if the lunch and supper is being provided to you by a female relative. A mother, a stepmother, an aunt, a grandma, a sister, whatever it is. Halacha l'maisa, you can eat the food that she's given you. But why? Abba favos. The Taisa said, obviously, that's you've given. What would you say otherwise? So it raises an important point. What you say otherwise is the following. I believe halacha l'maisa would do pass like Tosus. But what you would say otherwise is the following, and it's relevant to halacha at times as well. And that is, so the Rishon is, this is what I think the Becher Dov and others work out. If you disagree with Tosfos and say, no, Eid Echad Eim Esrim means the same dinam of Eidim as Shnei Eidim, only men, then you would say, but the reason why I can go home and eat the food that my mother, my stepmother, my grandmother, my aunt, my wife, my daughter gives me, not because of a formal din of Eid Echad Eim Esrim. Maybe, if you disagree with Tosfos, she's not an Eid Echad Eim Esrim. However, it's not based on Eidus, it's based on an incredibly strong rove. She's not a random woman. I know my sister. She would never give me something trace. So it's not just like a random Jew that I've never met before but appears to have a cheskes kashrus, so there's a formal dinner of Eidim. No! It's because I know the person giving me the food, man or woman. If this is someone who I know well, if you ask me what are the chances that my mother or my father, that my sister or my brother would give me tarfus, depends who one's brother, sister, father, mother is. But in many cases, the answer is, one in a million chance they're going to give me something straight. So then I don't need Avis in that case. That's like what we discussed yesterday. Rov Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita Mumchenein isn't based on Avis. No one's telling me anything. But I just say, based on the facts of the case, given all the data that I have, what are the chances this is trade? Very slim. This appears to have been done by a shochet. I look at the Beis HaShchita, looks like this wasn't clubbed over the head, it wasn't done with a gun, it looks like it was done by a shochet. No one's telling me that it was kosher, but what are the chances that's trade? I say, by the numbers, statistically speaking, 95% chance that's kosher. 85% chance is kosher. Rov Mitzvah Shechita Mumchenein. That's not based on Eidus. It's a different principle. They're different principles, different tools that the halacha gives us for dealing with suffix. One is Chazak Demeikar. Another one is Cheskas Gimel Shanim, reaching back. Another one is Shnei Eidim. Another one is Eid Echad. Another one is Rov. Each of these is a tool with its own rules and its own power to help us deal with a lack of information, to help us deal with suffix. That's what many Achronim explain. If you were to disagree with Tosfos, if you were to say is then, just like Shnei is document, then you say the fact you come home and have supper, that's not based on Eidus. That's just based on Rove. If you come home when no one's home, you go into the kitchen, go into the fridge, you take our food. No one told you that's kosher, but you're pretty sure, depending on what your home is like. But if you're willing to, if yours is a home where you're comfortable going into the fridge, hopefully it is, perhaps it's not. But if yours is a home, you have the bracha of living in a home where you're comfortable assuming that all the food in the house is kosher, so then that's a rove. So that's what the Achronim said. The nafkamin, so one nafkamin would be, can I have a random apparently from man, who appears to be, I don't know him personally, I don't know him intimately, but to all appearances, it appears to be Yirei Shemayim. So, Eid Echad Eim Esrim. Would that be the same? Would the same be true for a woman or not? A mashkicha, who I don't really know well, but appears to be a frum woman. So that's. But I don't have that robe. I don't have that kimli begave. I'm convinced they would never give me tarfus. So that situation. The non-home situation, that would be taller in the Machlokas, Tosis, and other Rishonim. I said before, I believe in Pasul and Tosis, Eidachanam Bisurim does apply to both men and women, and in both cases, if the person appears to be Yirei Shamayim, the doctor of Halacha, so then, even though I don't know them intimately well, I don't have a robe of a Kimli Begavei, I know him or her, or he or she would never, Eidachanam Bisurim suffices both for men and for women. There is, however, as I said before, then we'll take stop the question, I mentioned before, this other Shita does have relevance for Halacha. Because the concept that they develop of the Kimli Begavei, it can be relevant even when Echanem Bisurin doesn't apply, for men or for women. And that's what the poskim deal is. There are She'elos Chamuros that have to be handled, have to be presented to a significant Mora Hora. But sometimes poskim will say the following. Let's have a scenario where I'm a Shomer Halacha, and I'm living in a home of respectful family who are not themselves Shomer Halacha. They're not observant. They're not yet observant. When you have that scenario, you have an observant Jew living in a non-observant home, that can play itself out in many different ways. It can play itself in many different ways emotionally, and therefore in terms of facts on the ground and in terms of a halachic practice. So sometimes that's tragically becomes very fractious and it becomes very tense. Those situations need to be handled with tremendous wisdom and finesse. You need guidance on a whole host of levels, not just in terms of kashrus, just in terms of figuring out how to handle the situation. But if you have a situation where Baruch Hashem, the rest of the family, although they're not themselves observant, are very, very respectful. Very, very respectful. And they appreciate that you keep kashrus, and they want to support that, even though they're not personally interested in that. So there are situations where Mor Hara will say that sometimes would say that you have the right to assume that if they say they're providing with kosher food, you're going to believe them not based on Eidachanam Bisurim, because they might not fit the bill of Eidachanam Bisurim if they themselves are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. But there might still be a role of a Kimli Begavei. I know my family. And I'm convinced they don't personally care about halacha, but I am convinced, knowing them for X number of years, they would never double-cross me this way. If they're giving me something to eat, the respect is so great, the love is so great, I'm convinced that what they're giving me is kosher. So sometimes Mor Hara will say that's something that one's relying on. Again, it's not based on Echanem B'Yisur, it's not based on the classical dinim of Ne'emanus, it's based instead on a rove. On the statistical statement that because I know this particular person well and personally, I can make an assessment that the chances of this particular person giving me something trade is vanishingly small. Right. So that obviously there can be a lot of as I said before, this sort of situation for a host of reasons needs expert and wise guidance, both on the halachic side and on the emotional side. And a Mor Hara will have to make the call whether this sort of Kimli is applicable. And you're right, it will be limited also. Obviously, the Kimli is only to the extent that that person even understands what my standards are. So if they know that I only buy packaged food with one of the following list of symbols, and they bought packaged food, so then, maybe I'm convinced that that package got thrown out. So maybe I could say overwhelming robe that I had a reliable hashgacha on. Right, but it doesn't mean that I can assume that they know things they don't know. Right. Obviously, we have to figure out, even if the robe applies, which will not always apply, depends obviously on the nuance of the situation. You're right, even when it applies, it'll have limited application. Again, those who say, just to chazer, and then we'll take questions, you can relate very patiently. No, you can relate very patiently. And this is, again, the first nekuda that emerges from the end of Tosis, from the discussion of Tosis's marker, namely Nida, is that Tosis assumes that Eidachanam Bisurim applies equally to a male aid or a female aid, or Eidah, what the grammatically proper way to say that is. But Tosis assumes that, unlike Shnei Eidim, Eidachanam applies both to male and female witnesses. And that's source both in the drasha from Nida and in the Maisa B'Chol Yom Bakashas. There was, if for those Rishonim who disagree, Ayei Zecher David, so those Rishonim who disagree, how would they deal with the Ma'aseh B'chol Yom? How do they deal with the Drasha? Well, maybe they don't think that's the relevant Drasha. How do they deal with the Ma'aseh B'chol Yom? They would say, probably, for a woman you know well, there you don't need a Nechonem Yisurim, there is based in the role of Kimli Bigava. And then we pointed out that even though I believe we pass on Tosas, a Nechonem Yisurim does apply to both men and women, but this idea that there's a rov of kimli bigava or kimli bigave is relevant for men or women who don't fit into Eidach and Envy Surah because they're personally not showing Torah mitzvahs, but I know them exceptionally well, and I know that given our relationship, they would not give me X, so then I have a rov that whatever I'm eating is not the problematic X. Is that?
By the women in the Mice of the Holy Yom, by Shkita, Tosa specifically said, Apa Pisha in Yad and Halakhs.
Hilch Shkita. Yeah, no Hilch Shkita.
Yeah.
Therefore, Tosa's point was, it's not Biyada. That was Tosa's problem. Haki said, if Biyada, she wouldn't know what, if you gave her the live animal, like she would know what to do.
Yeah, but how could she testify saying, I know this animal is kosher if she doesn't know what that means?
The same way I testify. I have you over my house. And I serve flesh. So how do I know the flesh is kosher? Because the shochet told me, or because the mashkiach told me. Yes, so she's saying she took it to the shochet. She took the animal to the shochet, and the shochet said that it was clear. He looked at the inspected the shechita. He looked at the lungs, and he said, "Lady, enjoy. Everything is fine." The same my grandmother used to take the chicken to the shochet and the shochet. Yeah, and that were, that's another example of a difference between Eidach and Nen Bisurin and Shnei Eidin, is that Eidin's Bein is certainly reliable. I mean, the Mashkiach is not telling you that, it's not like Mashkiach comes to your table and says, I watched every stage of the process. It's clearly not. You're like, Eidin's Bein, Eidin's Bein, Eidin's Bein, it's all step, absolutely. Yeah.
For the case where others, like her family members, are not observant, but they would do what you want, like if they would, like if they know that, like you want to be, you want it to be kosher. So Tosfos would say that would be, like it sounds like everyone would say that's good.
Potentially, again, I stress what I said before that don't try this at home without expert advice. Now this is a difficult, nuanced shiloh, but at times the Mor Hara will say that you can rely on the word of someone who's not themselves observant based on. Kimli Bigave. Like, Tosas could agree to the concept also. Tosas just right, doesn't right. think it's necessary
but it
by for a woman.
But if they weren't, I thought like the non Tosas opinion is that they have to be regular Edom, but then we say that they don't have to be regular Edom, it's just a rove.
No. Eidechanan Bisurin, those who disagree with Tosas would say that Eidechanan Bisurin
means it, same as regular.
Means the same the degree of eligibility to be an aid as Shnei Eidim.
But then for the family.
But if Eidach and Abisurim, even if I don't know this person profoundly well, Eidach and Abisurim, does that apply only to men or even to women? Machlok and Pishon. Tosis thinks even women. But if I know someone intimately well, and A, B, based on my intimate knowledge of them, my assessment is that it's highly unlikely that they would give me something in trade, so then I'm leaving aside whether or not this person is an aide, I have an independent rove. Just like rove mitzvah etzel shechita mumchinein is not based on aides, no one told me anything. I just found an animal. I just found a piece of meat. But if I have a rove, if given all the data points that I have, the chances of it being a problem is very slim, so then I have a rove. Rove is one rule, eidechon is a different rule. Yeah.
It's that there's just always a suffix on meat, and you need rove and all that to come to help it. Like, there's automatically a suffix regardless of, like...
I have a piece of meat where it's a some meat in the world is kosher, some meat in the world is straight. So for starters...
I'm saying that established, that we have a suffix is because some is kosher and some isn't in that area. Or...
Yeah, and not only that, number one, most meat in the world is not kosher. And every animal has a cheskas isser, as we mentioned the other day. Right? And that's what both Rashi and Tosfos point out. The Gemara in Chulin says, "Behem bechayeh becheskas isser amedas." But when it was alive, it was definitely not kosher. Rashi and Tosfos and Chulin work out like What exactly was that issur? Okay, whatever. If you're Menachayim, Mezuchah, whatever it is, you can't eat live animals. Leave it aside the details.
Does that mean though it was carried on to?
So the question is, did it become kosher? Did it get a proper shtita or not? Live animals are not kosher. Dead animals may have become kosher or may have remained non-kosher.
So we're not still being stuck on the first stuff of Pesachus.
Now
we're on this. I'm saying that we're not concerned about that part anymore. We're just concerned about whether it did.
No, Pesachus is part of what drives us.
I'm thinking we heard one part removed from it because the Shofet originally removed would be the one to remove.
If he did a good job, that's the question. Was it done properly? This person gives me a piece of meat. So, you put you get a piece of chicken. So, is it kosher chicken or is it Purdue chicken?
No.
I don't know. That's the question. Did they shoot the animal dead or did they do a proper shooting? That's the question. Okay. So, that was again, coming back to the end of Tosis, what Tosis says, what's my marker for Eidechon and Bissurin? So, he says we learn from Mida. And the first issue that strikes us is that this reflects Tosas Ashita, that Echnam Yisurim certainly includes women. Number one. Number two is something that we had pointed out last week. It's worth noting that Tosas seems to assume that Nida is not an example of Davar Sheva'erub, which Tosas touches on in a later Tosas. You know, at the end of Jeremiah's Chalhavi, they say, I would have thought, that is a Davar Sheva'erub. So that sounds like that's reminiscent of what we had discussed. But Rambam thinks that the Isser Nida is a act of Gila Arayos, and Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, in the bottom of Tosfos and Yivamas Dabez and Al, thinks, no, Nida is an Isser with Kares, but not Arayos. When Nafkamina would be, they would dispute whether it's Yahar Bal Yavar or not. Tashmish was a Nida Kamina. And another Nafkamina might be, potentially, if you call the status of being a Nida, a Davar Sheva'erub or not. And Tosis even, entertains this, or thinks the Gemara entertained it. Tosis thinks the end of your mouth, Tosim Asvahadi. Salgadaita, maybe initially we thought, you had a Havamina that Nida is like a Davar Sheva'erub. But ultimately, Tosif, consistent with Tosif Yomis, Tosir Gittin says, not a Davar Sheva'erub, and therefore, we can even say that Nida is the prime example, the original example of non-Davar Sheva'erub. Nida for Tosis is the original example of a Echad Dem Bisur. So again, so Tofar, two interesting features. Number one, Echad Dem Bisur is learned from Nida means that Isha is included in Echad Dem Bisur. Number two, the fact we're learning from Nida is consistent with Shita's Tosis against the Rambam, that Nida is not a Davar Sheva'erub. But then, Tosis themselves raise another problem. Leaving aside the man versus woman, leaving aside is this Erev or not? The Im Tomar, second class line of this. This gets a little tricky how to read it. And the Marsha addresses it. And the truth is, he looks back and he showed him, he's a line. He himself quotes a Rashba. He didn't have a Tosar Rush. We have a Tosar Rush. And it lines up beautifully. Let's try to read this last line of this. Im Tomar, Im King. If you're going to tell me that the source right after Nehemiah Surim is what? Is Nida. What was Tosus trying to escape? They didn't like Rashi, because Rashi had given as a source a case of Nehemiah Surim. Say one second. Why is what we're doing any better? They think it's worse. Nida is also Chazak Yisur. She's a Nida. She's counting Shiva Nekiyim in order to be able to change her status to become a Tahora. So we don't know. Empirically, did she succeed in having seven consecutive clean days or not? We don't know empirically ourselves whether she had Shiv Nikki or not. She tells us she did. The Torah says we believe her. So that mamish is Chazek Yisura. We know from beforehand that she was an Nida. And the question is, did it change? In Tomar, If Kena feel it's Chazik Yisura, so this is worse. It says Chazik Yisura, and it's also not Biyata. She can't create Shiv Nikim. Her body decides when to stop bleeding. That's not something that she autonomously controls. She's not making a Bechir Chashis decision about that. Her body just decides. Or like your heartbeat, or your digestion. It's not something that you're directly controlling. It's an autonomous function.
So it's not biyada.
Not biyada to create Shiv Nikim. The mamish! Tosa says, whoa, we just have a source now for something totally new and fresh and wild, which is Eidecha is believed that even against his Chazak Yisura. Wow. Oops. That's a big oops. Well, the whole time we've been assuming, again, I told you this is the sheet of Tosas and the Rosh, that Eidecha is not Naman against his Chazak Yisura, unless it's Biyado. Even when it is Biyado, Tosa thinks it's not relevant to here. Neither is Chazak Yisura. What does Tosa say? How many answers does Tosa give? Two. Yesh Omar, the Eina Bechezka Shetei Roa Kol Shom. Well, she's not Bechezka that she should see, meaning she should continue to bleed all the time. Ukesha Avru Shiva Tahora Mamela. Once 7 days passed, she's automatically Tahora. Below is Chazak Yisura. So there's no Cheska Sisser. What does that mean? I'm glad you concur. What did Tosis just say? If you mean you concur that Tosis is hard to read. She's not the Cheskas seeing blood continuing to bleed all the time. When the 7 days are up, she's automatically Tahora. And therefore there's no Cheska Sisser. You look at it and you say, one second. Working backwards, she's not Tahora Mimela. That's not true. When a woman stops bleeding, she doesn't become Tahora automatically. After the Shiva Nikiyim, she has to then go to Mikvah. This is a very, very, very important din that sometimes out there, and then there are urban legends that roll around. And, well, it wasn't such an Issa Chama because she wasn't, it wasn't the time of month when the fellow will say, it wasn't the time of month when my girlfriend was bleeding. That doesn't help. Once a woman bleeds once, she remains in Nida for years unless she goes to Mikvah. The status of Nida doesn't disappear automatically. The fact that she's no longer menstruating, she underwent Shiva Nikiyim, that makes her eligible to go to Mikvah. But that does not in and of itself, even actual Shiva Nikiyim, don't in and of themselves make her Tahora, they just make her eligible to go to Mikvah. She goes to Mikvah, that's Shiva Nikiyim, and the mikvah won't help. You need both components. You need the shiv and the kiyum, and then you need the tefillah of the mikvah. So we're not sure what Tosas means. She would become tahora on her oath, and therefore is not ches kezisser. And the other question is, what do you mean? Why is not ches kezisser? She was tamei before.
People don't know that she's not.
Oh, to some of the Rishonim, the Rosh, the Tosas, Rosh, and the Rosh would deal with. Maybe another show. Well, how do you even know that she became to me? Okay, different ways to handle. I don't want to get into that special shape. That's a sidebar.
No, the fact that she became, she's during Shiva
Nikiyim,
people don't necessarily know that unless she says.
But that's not what Tosas is addressing. That's a side point. Other show deal. Tosas, she's not the Cheskas Roa Kosha. What does that mean?
I'm saying that because she's believed that that's why it can't be because of the Cheskas Yisur that. From the fact that she is believed to say this means that she thus, it's not a case of cheskas yisur, because otherwise she...
Well, but why isn't it a case of cheskas yisur? She was tamea. Again, as Zev was inserted into the conversation, some of the Rishonim deal with, well, how do you know that she was tamea to begin with? Other bayo would say so. The Rishonim have different suggestions. But whatever it is, we knew that she was tamea, and now she tells us she's tahora, which is fine. That's what the pasuk says. She's nemanteh shidor. But isn't that an example? Shouldn't we learn from here that Eidecha is nemen against cheskas yisur? No. There's no chazaka that she should be roa b'chol sha. And therefore, she's tahora mamela. So this line already, there are two problems. One is Why? I missed it. Why did you say there was no chazaka? She was tamei. I mean, she's not the cheskas ro b'chosha. And what did you mean that kisha avru shiva tahor b'meil? It's not true that that's a kineged adib. Your children become new terrorists automatically. And if that wasn't bad enough, problem number three is the next line of Tosas. Tosas says, oh, the gum beyond the lit ball. And by the way, I have another answer. How is it that the woman is nemenas against the cheskas sister? Oh, the answer is biyada, because biyada is the go to mikvah. So the marsha jumps and says, I thought the whole point of Tosas, he didn't like that. Wasn't it? So everybody, we get to the end of Tosas, now he's gone back to what he didn't like in the first place. Rashi had said shchita is the mocker. So he said, no, chas v'shalom, how can you say shchita is the mocker? That's the biyada against the cheskas sister. That's not what I want. I want a pure edachanam yisur. No, beyond no cheskas esser. The Torah says, oh, no, the shining alternative. You don't learn from shchita, we learn from nida. But then we push and push and push. It looks like in the last line, we say, oh, and by the way, why is nida nemenes? Because it's beyond against cheskas esser. You're scratching your head, and you say, well, if that's what you're saying, so then there's no better than shchita. So what has Tosas accomplished? They just substitute one case of beyond against cheskas esser. For another case, it's not against Christmas. So again, three problems, and then we'll take questions from the floor. In reading this last part of Tosas, their tarot, or the double tarot, three problems. Number one, they said that apt kishavru shiver tahora memela. You become uteris automatically. But that's connected at the end. You don't become uteris automatically. Number two, Tosas said somehow that makes it not a cheskas sister. But why not? Lamaisa, she was known, however she was known, she was known before to be Tamiya. We're not sure if she's Tahor or not. So what happened to Cheska Sissa? And then problem number three, the second Teretz, says it's based on Biyada, in which case this is no better than Shrita. Three problems. Yeah.
And is it that maybe, I mean, it seems that he's separating though specifically the counting and the Tevila, because we're specifically talking about from the fact that she's believed by the counting, thus we would assume that she already was, she did tevila. Like, because I mean, it seems like he's trying to specifically separate those two things to prove that, and to show also that it's not a case of cheskas yisura, and it's.
So you answer something important, right, which is that there are two stages here, and what the Marsha suggests, and then he fascinating, doesn't usually say this. At the end he says, I learned this from learning the Rajma. I got this insight in Tosas from learning the Rajma. The truth is, if you have a Tosa Rush, which I think most if not all of you have in the back of the Gemara, it's often the case, this is just a good tool in your Derech HaLima toolkit to be aware of, it's often the case that multiple Rishonim on the Sugya will be saying basically the same thing. Sometimes they disagree, but not always. Often you have multiple Rishonim who quote one another by name or not by name, but just often you'll find the chunk of Tosas in the Rashba, in the Ramban, in the Ritva, so on and so forth. Sometimes they disagree, but sometimes there are nuances of disagreement, but often they're just going to present it identically or with a different nusach, and sometimes with a clear nusach. And then that's true among Rishonim in general, though often later Rishonim quote early Rishonim by name or not by name. And you'll find a clearer formulation in a different Rishon. Specifically, when you're learning Tosas, it's important to know historically, there was, as you know, there was no man called Tosas. There were hundreds of Baalei HaTosfos, beginning with Rashi's grandson, Rabbeinu Tam. We usually see him as the beginning of Tosas. And then his nephew, Rashi's great grandson, Levi, Rabbeinu Yitzchak of Dampierre. And then that from there began the whole, Rabbeinu Tam had a whole chiddush, he had 1,001 chidushim in particular sugyas, but and overall he had one meta chiddush in terms of Derech HaLima, which was consistently to do to Gemara what the Amoraim do to the Tanan, which is to assume that all the different pieces in different places, the scarring assumption is that all the different pieces in different places properly agree with one another, and you need to work out how all the different pieces in different places actually fit together. Whereas many of Rabbeinu Tam's predecessors and contemporaries in other parts of the world did not assume that way. Rashi and the Rif and maybe the Baal Hamar were probably much more want to assume that it was a steer between Ksuvis and Baba Basra. So Rashi will probably be more ready, more willing to assume Machlokas HaSugdis. The Gemara of Ksuvis holds this way, the Gemara of Baba Basra holds that way. Okay. And then the Rambam will do that as well, and then he'll only quote one of the two. Because since he's writing a Sefer LaHalacha, so the sheet of the Sugya that he holds is we are passing like, doesn't even make it to the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam's underlying Chiddush, his meta Chiddush in terms of Derech HaLimud, was to assume that, yeah, Machlokas HaSugyas may happen occasionally, but the default assumption is for Rabbeinu Tam, and the Baal HaTosfos who follow him, and the later Chachmei Sfarad, who were impacted by Baal HaTosfos from Rambam and on, Rabban Rabban Yonah, who both had Ashkenazi Rabbeim, and then already by the time of the Rajba, as mentioned, the Rush came, and certainly the influence of Baal HaTosfos spreads even farther and wider after that. The approach of the Baal HaTosfos is to assume Mistama, there is an answer. Machlokas HaSugyas is not your default assumption. Your default assumption, you have one sugya that says X, other sugya says Y. It must be someone that fits together. Maybe this Torah, this topic is a Torah, that topic is all types of terutzim. You find in the Tosfos, in the Rashba, in the Ritva, that was Rabbeinu Tam's legacy. So Rabbeinu Tam was an incredible Machadish, and then he had Talmidim, the Ri and the Or Zeru, I believe, and others, and the Ri in turn had a whole slew of Talmidim who started yeshivas. And they began to propagate more and more yeshivas throughout France and Germany that were learning Shas with this style. So there were certain core chidushim from Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri that all the yeshivas had. And then over time, each yeshiva had its own set of tosfos, the core of which was probably from the Ri himself. And then they added. And then they added over time, over generations, more terutzim, more kashas, more terutzim. So you'll find on the Masechta often multiple sets of Tosfos. You'll find on the shelf the Tosfos of Ben Peretz, the Tosfos of Shantz, Tosfos Tuch, this is Kamer Tuch, Tosfos Harash, which is probably the Russian version of Tosfos Shantz that he brought with him from Germany to Spain, and there are others as well. And there's Tosfos on the page. Tosfos on the page is based on, depending on the Masechta, sometimes it's based primarily on Tosfos of Ben Peretz, sometimes based primarily on different sacraments, based primarily on Tosfos Shantz. In Brachas, in Tosfos on the page is based on Tosfos Rei Yehuda, Sir Leon.
Can you give an example? Just to understand, like, is there a quick example possibly of like, would you even say Tosfos and Rashi in terms of how you're saying?
Let's hold on to the thread. So oftentimes. That's why, if you have a Tosfos, sometimes you feel like Tosfos is like missing a line. Or just like it's a very, very tight, dense sentence, and like I feel like I'm not getting all the steps. You're looking at Tosfos Rosh, you're looking at Tosfos Tuch, you're looking at Tosfos Peretz, whatever you have on your Masechta, it'll be the same idea, but more expanded. And particularly if you check to see which of the, which are, and given Masechtas, given sets of Biotosis, parallel Tosfos, and may be particularly helpful. The Marshad or other early Achronim didn't have this gift of these other parallel Baal HaTosfos, because they were just, at the time, they were unpublished Kitzvayat. So there, very often you'll see the Machlokas Marshad and Karin Ereim is the Machlokas Tosfos of Paris, Tosfos of Rosh. They were reconstructing, the Achronim were reconstructing what the Rishonim actually said. So here, Tosfos Harash, Tosfos Rosh already gives you more clarity, and Tosfos Rosh even more. The in Talmud, if you have a Tosfos Rosh, you can take a look. It's again, it's parallel. There's a long Gir Masal Eidech and Mizurim, and there's a short Gir Masal Eidech and Mizurim. We're looking at the long one. The in Talmud, you can't feel this chazik, you see where now me. That's the kasha. So if you learn from Nida, so then even if it's a chazik, you see where ultimately made out of. And the Baal HaTosfos thinks Eidech is not Neman against his Chatzik Yisum. V'yesh Lomar, Deina Becheska Shetei Roa Kol Shah. She's not Becheska, she's going to be constantly bleeding, constantly finding more blood. Abel Gav Debiri'iyah, I hear Tosfos Rosh add. Even though she does remain Tameya for weeks or months or years or decades after the blood stops until she goes to Mikvah, that's true. Mikoma can be other lasake. So here he jumps to the second answer. The first is, okay, she needs to go to Mikvah, but it's the other, which leaves us wondering once again, wasn't that what Tosu was trying to avoid? A biyada case? Is mikama kam yafina shapir minita nigger give chaylev again? He directly addresses that question in different language, but when he says, well, but you could still correctly, effectively learn that manas on chaylev the gid, which, as you remember, Tosu Rosh had already said, is not as chazik isura and not biyada from nida. Now he's asking, one second, so how do I learn, if I can't learn from Shchita, how do I learn from Nida? He says, Avakav de em yado sakin agid shal itzu sheheter. Well, there it's not, what's it called? There it's not the other, but there it's not as chazik yisura. And here. It is a chazik yisura, and it is the other. Isn't that what Tosis didn't like? So here,
you get help from the Rashba,
who points out the following. Rashba says, and this is what Marsha says, I learned this from the Rashba. He starts with the beginning of Tosis. Kaven did Dameh Yesh Lomar, the end of Yermasel Amor. Kaven did Dameh Posekin, Memela, the bleeding will on its own stop. How is it subtly different than what Tosus said? Tosus had said she becomes Tahora Memela. That's incorrect, as Tosus Rashi had stressed. So Rashi says that. Not that she becomes the horalachic status, but in terms of physical reality, she's not going to bleed forever. It'll go on for a couple of days. Maybe go on for a week, maybe a little more. But unless there's some severe medical abnormality, it's going to run out after 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days. Kevin Dameha posted an email that the physical reality of the bleeding will stop. You may Safira buy me a layhen, and the days of the days of Nikiyim will come on their own. We consider that, like what the Gemara had said, is there's no chazaka. Now that she says I'm tahora, it's not against the chazkas yisur. Why? Because there's no chazaka. Why? Because something is going to stop on its own. Not the tuma, but the physical re'iyah. But she still has to go to mikvah to become Torah. That is like shchita, where it's biyada. In other words, and here the mashal links to a little bit more, there are two separate questions. And here's the answer. I asked you before, how many answers Tosas give? Some guy said two, and one guy said 1.5. So the 1.5 is very sharp. What the Marsha points out based on the Rashba is that it's not two independent answers. In which case, if it's two independent answers, neither one works. The first answer is assuming that she becomes Tahora on her own, which is halakhically incorrect. The second answer is assuming that it's based on Biyada, which is true, but not what we're looking for. That's why Tosha rejected Rashi. So the answer is, it's one answer. There are two different states there, because there are two separate questions going on. In order to be Tahora, two things have to happen. Which two things have to happen? Shuv Nikiyim, number one, and number two, Tevila. If she says, this is how the Marsha weaves this all together, the Tosas with the Rashba, and I would add the Tosas Rosh as well, when the Gemara in Tzubas Ayin Beis says that she's not managed to say Tahora, she's really saying two things. Number one, I came to Shiv Nikiyim. Number two, I went to Mikvah. And she's believed for each of those two statements. Each of those two composite ingredients of Nitharti. I am now Tahor. Why do we, and what Tosfos is really doing is breaking it down. He's saying, why we believe her on the Tevila, that's because B'yada Litbo. B'yada Litbo. She was Cheska, in other words, there are two questions. Is she still Ro'a? Or if you want, if you think about it, there are two Chazakos. Initially, she was Ro'a Dam, and that's a physical reality, and halachically, her halachic status was, she was Tamea. So there really are, she's Becheskas Ro'a, and she's Becheskas Tamea. Tosis attacks each one separately. And Tosis says, let's explain why we're not worried about, because the Tosis said, the Kashub is Chazak Yisura. The Tosis deals with each of the two Chazakos separately. First, let's address why she's Nemenis despite her Cheskas Ro'a. And then let's address why she nemens despite her cheskas tenea. Why she nemens despite her cheskas roa? So Tosfos read again and said, well, she's become tahar v'meila. It didn't mean actually tahar, but he meant, as the Rajma said, she's going to stop being a roa on her own. She's not going to continue to bleed forever. And therefore, but isn't she the cheskas roa? So the Beis Halevi, the beautiful Beis Halevi here, in Tchelet Beis Simen Lama Zayin, I believe it is. If you need the Mar Makomos, you can find, you don't have to memorize them. The footnotes here are very, 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 very fantastic footnotes, both from the Rajva and Tos Rosh. So this is the long truth of Beis Halevi. In the first column and a half, he already lays out a lot of what's going on here. Simen Lama Zayin, Tchelet Beis. The Chuvas, but the Beis Halevi is true. Many Achron, some Shas and Chuvas usually we think of as like a practical Shaila, and here's the Chuva. But there were a number of Achron who used Shilas and Chuvas as sort of like a genre to write their Shtick L'Chter. So, Schelet Beis, Simon Lamed Zayin, in Beis Halevi is not response to someone had a Shaila about a piece of meat. It's his treatment of the Sugya of Chazaka and of Gittin Beis and so on and so forth. So he says, he points out there's a Maharit, one of the early Achronim, who formulates, based on this Tosfos, a rule about Chazaka. That Chazaka ha'asuya lehishtanos is not considered to be a Chazaka. Chazaka that's meant, that's built to change. I'll give you an example. How many people here drive? Okay. How many people have ever driven to the Heights? Or into New York City in general? Okay. Where do you park? What? Drop someone off. Okay. It's a wise man. You avoid parking. Here's the man who probably parks in the city, at least in the Bronx.
Streets.
On the streets, right? You park in the streets, depending where you are, you may have to deal with
Harold
meters. Harold parking. Number one. Here's a man who's holding the sugya of driving test. Alternate side and meters.
Double park.
You don't have to deal with any of those.
Your own double parking or dealing with the fact that
dealing with
everyone else is double
parking.
This plus.
You're already getting triple parking.
All of this plus. Speaking of a lot of personal experience. So, but let's talk for a moment about the meter. Right, so you put money in the meter. Let's say, I'm not talking about Pango or Parkmobile, so you can just keep, you know, feeding money, or you have direct data on your phone. Let's say there's actually the only way to access is at the meter. You actually have to put money in the meter. And you have, at the very least, you have no way of knowing what you're up to unless you're at the meter. Right? So I put a whole, however many quarters I could scrounge around the car, and maybe I'm an organized person, I have a little drawer in the car that I save for quarters, or I'm not, you know, or I would do that if I lived in the city, but I don't live in the city, poked down with the city, whatever it is. However many quarters I have, I stuff them in, or I try to cheshbon how much time do I need, how many minutes, how many hours, depends whether you're in Manhattan or Brooklyn, in terms of whether they give you minutes or hours, whether a quarter gets you a half hour or 7 minutes. So I put a bunch of quarters in, and I go to do whatever I'm doing. I go to one of the best marsh, I go to shop, like whatever it is I'm doing. And now I'm wondering, one second, did I run out of time yet? So I should have written down exactly what time it was and how much time I had then. I should have set an alarm for myself that, you know, it's going to go off at 2:16 to remind me in 7 minutes I run out of time in the meeting. But I didn't. I'm not sure how much time I have left. So would you say, well, the last time I was at the meter, you know, the old school meters were like, yeah, that little red flag pops up, you know what I'm talking about, in 5 towns in Houston. Like, what else? Ah, that's right. There's a little, like, red flags that pop up, or the newer ones often, like, start flashing red when you're out of time. Makes it easier for you to know that you're out of time, and for anyone who will give you a ticket to know that you're out of time. So I say, look, am I out of time or not? Is the red flag up in my car or not? So when I say, well, is there a rove? There's no rove. I don't know what the rove is. There's no probability. Chazaka. Ooh, what do Chazaka say? Well, the last time I was at my car, last observation was the red flag up. No. Right? Last time I was there, I put in a whole bunch of quarters, and the red flag was down. Oh, so it's Bechezka, so the red flag is still down. Does that make sense? Why?
Things change.
Not because things can change, because this is ticking towards changing. Right? The classical Chazaka, you know, the cookies were tahar 10 minutes ago. I don't know whether they became tameh or not. The mikvah had more than 40 stuff water a week ago. I don't know if it still is maleh or now it's chaser. It may have changed, may not have changed. But that's what I say. I know what it was last week. I know what it was yesterday. I know what it was 10 minutes ago. It may have changed, may not have changed. Chazaka tells me if you have no way of determining, assume status quo. I only assume the status quo if it may or may not have changed, but it wasn't necessarily headed towards change. The cookies could remain tahar forever, or maybe Adam and Tommy touched them, now they're tummy. The mikvah could stay full for a very long time. Or maybe there's a lot of evaporation, or someone came by and scooped out some water. But it wasn't in process of change. Whereas here, the moment I put money in the meter, it's ticking down. A lot of profound muster in that. The moment I put money in the meter, it's already ticking down towards empty. So that's asuya lehishkan. I know it's going to change. For sure, it's built into the system. It's just a question of exactly when will it change. But it's not like, maybe it's not changing. Maybe it hasn't changed. It's going to change in 5 minutes. So the Narit says, you intuited, that's not a chazaka. Chazaka asuya lehishkan, that's not a valid chazaka mekar. And the Narit says, that's exactly what our Tosfos said. And that's what the Rashba was saying. That the first Chazaka, again, the question was, how is it Nida Nemenes? Isn't it against Chazaka? And if Nida is Nemenes, because the Pasuk says so, so should we learn from here that Eidecha is generally Nemenes against Chazaka? The answer was, well, let's bring there two Chazakas. Let's think about each one independently. Number one, she's saying Tahorani against the Chazkas Roa. And the answer to that, says Tosis, and even more sharply the Rashba, is no, that's not a chazaka. As that Tosis had said. Let's look back in Tosis again. And it sings. And Yesh Lomar, the aim of the chesed should take roa called Shah, there's no chazaka that she will be roa all the time, meaning, even if she was roa then, there was no presumption that this, there was no possibility that this would last forever. Dameha poskim memela, or as the Tosu said, kisha avru shiva tahora memela. Well, we don't mean kisha avru shiva tahora, she's going to become tahora automatically, but this first piece, the first component that she needs to undergo in order to become tahora, namely shiva nekim, that's going to come on its own sooner or later. As the Rashba said more sharply, the bleeding is going to stop sooner or later, unless there's some medical emergency, something very abnormal. And sooner or later, it's going to stop. And then Mamela, she has 7 clean days. So that's, you don't say she's Bechezkas Roa. That's not a Chazaka, because that's a Chazaka Asur Leishtanos, and that doesn't count. And that's what Tosa said, below is Chazik Isura. So she's not an Eidach al Keneged Cheskas Roah, because there is no such thing as Cheskas Roah. That's an unacceptable Chazaka, because it's a Chazaka, Asur Leishtanos. Ah, you tell me, but she's still Eidach al Keneged Chazaka because of the second Chazaka, not the first Chazaka of the physical reality of Roah. That we said, that's Asur Leishtanos. But how about the halachic status? She's Cheskas Teneya. That's not Chazaka Hasur Leishtanos. You could change it, but it doesn't change automatically, as we said. Once a woman becomes a Nidra Zava once, she will remain Tameya forever unless she goes to Mikvah. So that's not a... You could change, but it doesn't have to automatically change. That's not a Chazaka Hasur Leishtanos, a Cheskas Teneya. So that Tosa says, B'yada Litva. Oh! Once she becomes, once she's undergone Shivanakian, she's still Becheskas Teneya, but Biyada Litzbol. Now, I, you say, 1 second. So we had three problems with this last line of Tosas. So far, we solved two of them. Number one was, what does he mean that she becomes Torah automatically? The answer is, she didn't even become Torah automatically. It means you're going to be done with Shivanakian automatically. The Re'iyah will Menela end. And now we understand, why is it not as Chazak Yisura? Oh, because it's a Chazaka Asur Leishtanos. That was Tosin's point. I've always said, when it all comes down to it, in the end, we just come back to where we started. And why is Tosin's any better than Rashi? Why is Tosin's any better than Rashi? He's still relying on his Chazak Yisura B'Biyada. B'Biyada Litpo. Here's the last angle of it. This is what the Marsha says. If I thought about the Rashi long and hard, and I realized, again, Tosis is looking for what? Ultimately, Tosis is looking for what, Rav Osei? A mocker for Eidach and Bisur. And again, Tosil, she taught something. I don't want a mocker for Eidach and Biyada. It's fine. Shchit is a mocker for Eidach and Biyada. But I want pure Eidach, which Tosis thinks is different than Eidach with a Biyada. So Tosis says, I rejected Shchit. That can't be the mocker for classical Eidach, because that's Eidach and Biyada. That's where I work in the Cheskas Issa, which is lovely, but that's a different thing. That's not this thing. Tosafot think the Eidach and Eidach and Biyada are two different things. So, but then they said, well, we'll learn from Nida. So the fact that parent number one indicates that Ish and Isha are Shavin as far as Eidach and Nebisur. Okay. Number two, it seems to indicate Tosafot and Lushita some things that Nida is not Dabar Sheva Erva, rather just regular Yisvahatr. Good. But the question is, 1 second, but why is this a valid source? It's his Chazak Yisura, but Biyada, it works because it's Biyada. Biyada Litbo. But Vayter, so why is this a source for regular Eidach without Biyada? As Kananel said, because as Tosis was developing, there are two things that she's saying when she says Tahorani. Number one, she's saying, I had Shiv Nikim. I checked. I stopped bleeding for 7 consecutive days. And I went to mikvah. So the fact that she's Nem Menes says she went to mikvah, that's Ein Echad with a Biyado Keneged Cheskas Issa. That's not what Tosis is looking for. But the fact that she says the mikvah is worthless unless she already had Shiv Nikim. So she's not only saying I went to mikvah. She's saying, after Shiv Nakim, I went to Mikvah. How did she name the Shiv Nakim? There's no Cheskas Isser, as we stressed, because she's not the Cheskas Roah. There was just the Cheskas Roah because it's Asir Lishtanos. And that's a really good thing, because for that, when she says, I went to Mikvah, that's a Yidachar with a Biyada. Because she could go to Mikvah now if she wants. She can't make it true. But when she says, I can't do Shiv Nakim, is she Eidach with a Biyada? No. She can't make the bleeding stop. It just happens. That's an autonomous function. It just happens when it happens. She's just an observer. She's just a passive observer. She has no control over the data. So when she says Tavalti, she's Eidach with a Biyada. When she just says, when the first half of what she's saying, Shiv Nakim, there she's Eidach without a Biyada. And the proof of Tosis is from the first half. And that's why it's critical, as Ezra said. These aren't two different Teirutzim. These are two halves of a single Teretz. There are two, because she's making two statements. When she says Tahorani, what she's really saying, or even when she says Tavalti, she's really saying Safarta Shivanikim, the Tavalti. So we're not going to learn, and again, plugging it back in. When the Gemara says in Ksubas Ayin Beis, Darshin from a Pasuk, that the word law, when the Rabbeinu Shalom said law, the Rambam in his Peter Shamashnais gets very dramatic when he quotes a Pasuk. He will say, he wrote in Arabic, Haylala, which is translated as Amar Hashem. Amar Hashem. So it's striking because he'll say it in like technical context. Amar Hashem, the Hashvi is Tushmetenu Unatashta. Like we hear Amar Hashem, we're waiting for some like inspiring Hashkafic Pasuk. Hashkafic Psukim are inspiring, Halachic Psukim are inspiring, and they're all said by God to Moshe Rabbeinu to be given to us. Rama reminds us, God said, Hashvi is Tushmetenu Unatashta. When God said La, to suffer La, God was telling me, and you, he was telling the Chachmei HaMesora that she is Nemenes both to say Sofarti and to say Tavalti. And when in telling me, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me that she is Nemenes to say Sofarti, therein lies the Makar for classical Eirecha Nem Bisur. Because there's no Biyada on Sofarti. There's no need for Biyada because no Chesed exists there because Chazakah Sir L'shtanis is not a Chazakah. And more to the point, it isn't the Biyada. For Tosus who thinks there are two different types of Eirechad, so very, very neatly, when a woman says Tahora Ani, it includes both types of Eirechad. It's she's making one statement where she's not Biyada, and she's making another statement where she is Biyada. So far to Shiv Nikim is not Biyada, and that's classical Eidechon and Bisurim. No Biyada, but it wouldn't work against Cheskezezer. But there's no Cheskezezer. That's classical Eidechon and Bisurim, and that's what Tosu is looking for. And then she's also saying Tavalti, which is against the Cheskas Iser, specifically Cheskas Temea. But on the other hand, that, or Cheskas Eina Tavula, if you want to think about it, but Tavil doesn't happen on its own. Tara doesn't happen on its own. But there should be other. So that's both types of Eidech Nemesurim in one package. In a single drasha, Taka teaches me both of them.